in the honor of reading and hearing God's word, Psalm 102, verses 18 through 28. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height, from heaven. The Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and set free those who were doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord and in Jerusalem his praise, when peoples gather together and kingdoms to worship the Lord. He has broken my strength in midcourse. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days. You whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servant shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. And God bless the reading and hearing of his word. You may be seated. Last week, the big idea was cry out to Yahweh. It's the same. That's the big idea. That's the theme. And that's what the psalmist sets an example for us to do in this psalm. To cry out to Yahweh. To cry out to our God. And I know that there are many in our congregation, there are many of you who are going through hard times with the loss of a loved one. It's an appropriate time to cry out. There are others in our congregation struggling with chronic health and all kinds of various issues. It's an appropriate time in hours like that to cry out. And we have a God who we can cry out to. The first point I want to make tonight is cry out to Yahweh with celebration. Look at verses 18 through 22. The psalmist writes, let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height, from heaven. The Lord looked down at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord, and in Jerusalem his praise, when peoples gather together and kingdoms to worship the Lord. The psalmist has lamented in the earlier portion of the psalm, crying out for all that God has brought upon him. And yet in this psalm he begins to use Exodus-like language. God looking down on his people who were prisoners and enslaved and freeing them. And he says, let these things be recorded that the next generations might know him. One of the reasons that we ought to cry out to the Lord is to set an example for the generations that follow us, right? There are children in this room. They see how you respond to all the various things going on in your life. And one thing they ought to see from us, those of us who have hoped in the Lord, is that when trouble comes, we have a place that we constantly go to and that we direct them to. This is why it's so valuable, in my opinion, to practice what is called family worship, where a family comes together a couple of times a week, maybe every week you're not, or every day you're not in church, and you come together and you read the word and you pray. And you take the prayer request of your children, however petty or insignificant you may think they are, and you pray. You lift those requests up to the Lord, and in doing so, They learn, at the very least, that you understand that God is a God who hears the cries of his people, both big and small. And Jesus, he called the little children to himself, and he used on multiple occasions, he used children as an illustration of how we are to go to God. Children seem to have an intuitive sense of their own neediness. Whenever they need something, they yell, "Mommy" or "Daddy." In JoJo's case, she just says it over and over and over and over until you help her. She gets it. She knows she can't do it without help. And sometimes I think when we get into adulthood, especially as Americans, we fool ourselves into believing that we're self-sufficient. We aren't. We are all dependent, not only upon God, but upon other people too. But preeminently, we are dependent upon God. So we cry out to him. And as we cry out, we remember all those glorious things that God has done on our behalf already. That's why we sing the song, "Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One." What has God done for you? He's done so much. In fact, he's done so much that you probably couldn't count them all. I know you couldn't, because he's done so many things for me too. But even if you were to get rid of all the things that God has given you and all you had left was his son Jesus, that would be more than enough to recount for your children forever. Christ is what we need, first and foremost. We are sinners who need forgiveness. We are people doomed to die, and we need eternal life. And it's only in Christ that we get both those things. And that's why when the Gospels were written, as well as Paul, they often speak of the event that Jesus did or Jesus' life and what he accomplished as a new exodus. He redeems a people from a slavery of sorts. He redeems a people from a greater enemy than Pharaoh or Babylon. He redeems them from sin, death, and Satan. And we as his people, even in our time of greatest need and vulnerability, ought not to forget what God has done for us in Christ. And realizing that God has given his only son on our behalf should only make us draw near to his throne of grace all the more boldly when we have troubles. If he has given his son, one writer in the New Testament says, will he not then give us all things? So we can go to the Lord and we can celebrate what he has given us and recount them to the generation that follows us. The fourth and final point, I did two last week, so the second point tonight is cry out to Yahweh with certainty. Look at verses 23 through 28. 23 through 24 might be hard for us to understand, but he begins, "He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. Oh my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They perish, but you will remain. They wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servant shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you." The heavens and the earth, they were created by God. They aren't eternal, as some religions have tried to argue that the earth is eternal. There are even some scientists that try to claim that material reality, it's eternal. It's always been. But Scripture is clear that there was a time in which all these things that we see and experience, they didn't exist. There was nothing except for one who existed for all eternity, and we call him God. And he spoke it all into existence out of nothing. So everything that we see right now, everything that we experience, these are all finite things. They are not eternal things. There's only one who is eternal. And God, who made the earth, can roll it up and destroy it. He can do whatever he will with it. But he remains the same forever. That is where our assurance lies. It's not on what we see. It's not on what we feel. Our assurance and our hope and our steadfastness, it is firmly or must be firmly planted in the Lord who doesn't change. In the Lord who is eternal. Some in theological circles try to argue for a God that learns. A God that grows in knowledge. A God that grows in perfection. A God that changes. And that's kind of the spirit of the age. Everything's about progress. We're always trying to progress. And therefore, if God is to be the best, he must be the one progressing the most, right? That's the logic of some. And yet, Scripture doesn't teach of a God like that. It teaches of a God who is independent, who is immutable, who doesn't change, who isn't affected by things, who isn't confused, who isn't learning, who isn't caught off guard. And I remind you guys of this truth almost every week. It probably sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, but like trusting in Jesus, the theme that I hit last Sunday, these are fundamental truths, fundamental realities. Scripture repeats them because we need to hear them. Lest we forget that our hope is anywhere else but God himself. So Vista Baptist Church, as we go into our business meeting, as we depart after it and go through our lives and go through our various struggles that we are presently going through, let us remember that our hope is not in budgets, that our hope is not in our ability to overcome life or take up our bootstraps and just march through life head on. Our confidence is in the Lord who doesn't change. It is in the God who has made his promises, and we know without a shadow of a doubt that everything he has promised will come true. He will bring it to pass. And that's good news. Irrespective of what we do, yes, we must have faith. Yes, we ought to obey in gratitude, but regardless of what we do, God will accomplish his purposes. He won't fail. But he has invited us to join in that mission. He has invited us with the privilege of bringing and expanding his kingdom on earth. And he has warned us that if we join him, we will suffer. But all the suffering that we experience is temporary and preparatory for eternal glory. Whatever you lose for following Christ will not seem like loss at all in glory. It won't. Let us remember where our hope lies. It's nowhere else but God in his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that we have to gather together as a church family, to do business as a church family. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless our conversation, that it would be fruitful, that it would be done in charity and humility and in love, and that, God, you would give us clear direction on how it is that we as a church are to steward our time, to steward our money, to steward all that you have given us for the purpose of bringing you glory and praise. God, help us to remember even if all these things outside of us, all these wonderful blessings that you have blessed Vista Baptist Church with, a building, a budget, funds, people, that's the most important part. Even if these things began to fall away, so long as we as a church family had you, we would have enough. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.